Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's the One Show, and this is part two of the ep that dropped yesterday. This will now pick up precisely where we left off, possibly even mid-sentence, because disjointed chat with no real context or explanation is exactly what podcasts are all about. Discussing that which has been spat forth from TV's The One Show this week, the regular The One Show showhound, Mark Haynes, and TV critic and entertainment journalist, Emma Bullimore. So let's go back to Xander and Ed Balls representing all the people of Britain as they were.
Yeah.
With their, you know, diverse nature. Wristbands?
Yeah, that's the interesting fact that I learned this week, that wristbands are still cool, apparently, if you're a middle-aged man. I don't know if it was a comic relief thing or what. I first noticed it on Xander, and then I noticed that Ed had them as well. I don't know if that's a bromance bonding ritual or whether they were both just doing that for comic relief. Not referenced. Just a fashion statement. It was weird.
Colour were the wristbands? I didn't notice.
They were like multicoloured. Right. They were like, you know, when a teenager's been to a summer of festivals and they're gross and they're bit, you know, manky, but they wear them as kind of trophy bracelet type things.
Yeah.
But I mean, they looked a bit cleaner than that. But they weren't saying, oh, by the way, you can buy a comic relief wristband. There was no reference of them.
Perhaps it was there. They were very keen on the whole Kilimanjaro bonding, weren't they?
So maybe
that was their ticket to get up the train up Kilimanjaro.
There is nothing more excruciating than the idea of Xander Armstrong and Ed Balls hugging each other and just tying each other's little wristbands onto thing and just going, you know, we'll both wear these together and it doesn't matter where we are in the world, we'll remember each other's Oh, it makes me feel actually physically sick.
They're in North Oxfordshire.
Also, there was that really awkward, I can't remember if it was Matt or Alex, kind of wanted to vaguely broach politics / Brexit with Ed Balls, and then as soon as he tried to engage with them, they retreated. They couldn't bear it.
Yeah.
So they were like, do you miss it because it's a busy time? And he was trying to say, well, I've been watching the Parliament Channel, and actually, you know, and they're like, so us, it's a Brexit free zone, please stop. But he's trying to answer your question.
You can say, you're saying it's Brexit free zone, but you just asked him about it.
Yeah.
You did that, and also The One Show has run films on Brexit.
Yeah.
And about food shortages.
Yeah.
And what was the other one they did? Oh, the farmer standing in a field on the Irish border, where they talked about the fact that the border went through his field and what the backstop was going to mean.
Yeah.
So they do Brexit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're supposed to be what the nation is talking about.
To be fair as well, they moved it on Tuesday to BBC Two.
Hello there, and welcome to The One Show with Matt Baker.
And Alex Jones. Same programme, different channel.
Different channel.
Anyway, we are live as always.
Yeah, they didn't look happy about that.
They were not. Matt was not
really
pleased. Yeah. Because this is
where all the liberals live.
The government vote was going on. So BBC One bumped The One Show in EastEnders across to BBC Two on Tuesday.
Got ya.
And Matt even opened the show with a grumpy look on his face about it. Just going, well, we're on BBC Two.
Phil Mitchell was good as gold about it, but Matt Baker was absolutely furious.
I bet he did have a meeting before then and just going, you know, the people are waiting all across the country, you know. They know the news, it's all right, you know, but they're not interested. What they want to hear is me talking to Grant Mitchell, you know. we're friends. They'll be disappointed if I don't turn up. It's that sort of mentality.
What the people want is a video about a cameraman who has pine martens in his attic.
Oh, God, what on earth is that?
Are we back to the fucking pine
martens? Oh, my God, you wait till you hear this.
I know
you didn't see this one.
Do you know
but,
what?
Oh, God.
Since they've started doing pine martens, I am acutely aware, when I hear the word pine martens, I go, ha-ha, The One Show. I haven't heard the pine martens mentioned outside of the One Show in Ever? 2 years.
No,
in two
no.
years.
No, I know.
And they're back, are they?
Oh, yeah, they're back. Matt got very excited about, well, two things. One, he was obviously bought into the BBC Two thing. But he just burst out with the line, oh, we're having a brilliant time tonight on BBC Two. What? No, you weren't. It was the same shit as it normally
it's
is.
No different to you, Matt. It's basically something the engineers do. For you, it's the same experience.
Yeah, that's right. This was the handbrake turn of the week for me when they lurched from one thing to another to get into this cameraman film. They said, well, Tess and Claudia have some well-earned sleep tonight, but the same can't be said for Hamza Yassin in the Western Islands.
Right.
And you go, what? Who? What? What was that?
Well done. Well, we're certain that Tess and Claudia will be getting a very good night's sleep tonight. But the same probably can't be said for poor Hamza Yassin in the West Highlands.
And then, you're absolutely right, he's a one-show cameraman. This film was the shortest one-show film I've ever... Nothing happened. Nothing happened. What was it for?
He was slightly sleep-deprived and then got some nice pictures of some other things.
I don't know if you can hear this, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Come on, I need some sleep.
One Show cameraman Hamza Yassin is surrounded by wildlife, and with a family of pine martens in his attic, at times, you could say, almost plagued by it.
I mean,
I don't know why.
It was he can't get to sleep because there are pine martens.
Mm.
Now, stop, right? We talked before on this podcast about the pine martin
film. The last pine martin film we saw, they didn't have any pine martins in it.
And the one before that didn't really have any pine martins. No. The whole film was about how difficult it is to film pine martins. All along, they've been living in a one-show wildlife cameraman's fucking loft. So he just installed a camera in his loft. Fucking dozens of them! All over the place! Running about, keeping him awake! They didn't need to trek to the wilds of anywhere!
I've always said this, it's feast or famine with pine martins, isn't it?
As he nicked them from the whole country and he puts them in his loft.
He's a pine martin thief. You know what's happened? They've stockpiled a load of them for the next time they do a pine martin video because they can't afford to do a third one that has no pine martins in it. Now they've basically gone, there are no stories left about pine martins, so let's just show them and get out of it. Let's put an underline under this sorry saga.
Nothing.
This guy should have been on Grand Designs. He had this beautiful house that on his doorstep it's looking out onto this amazing vista. How much are they paying cameramen at the One Show?
Oh, well, there you go.
Cameramen do all right.
Yeah. Apparently so.
I once did a TV shoot where we had to pick up the cameraman and we drove down a road. And I was like, this road is pretty bumpy. After about 5 minutes, we were like, this is quite a rural road. And they turned to me and they went, no, this isn't a road. This is his drive. And he was just an ordinary cameraman. He was in his 50s. He looked like he looked like Bill Oddie.
Does all the work for Comic Relief.
He works 2 days a year.
They also said when he's not filming the Pine Martins in his loft, he's just pointing his camera at this vista, this beautiful vista in front of him, where, you know, he can see seals. So they showed, you know, this footage of seals playing in the surf and sea eagles, these magnificent sea eagles. And then they just said, and they eat ducks. And then they moved on. Whoa.
With wingspans stretching almost 2.5 metres, white-tailed sea eagles are the biggest birds in the UK. Not only catching fish, but ducks too.
Sea eagles eat ducks. There wasn't a shot of it, though.
I'd have loved to have seen that.
Rubbish cameraman.
Oh.
But that was when it came back to Matt. No, but honestly, nothing happened, did it?
No.
It was a pointless bit of television.
Mm. But again, I'm surprised that you're surprised.
I know, but I live in hope. But it was so short.
Particularly short.
Go somewhere. It was like a minute long.
It's like that really old joke about how was the meal you had out of the restaurant, and the other old guy says, the meat was terrible, the potatoes were undercooked, the vegetables were raw, and such small portions. And that's exactly what you're doing there, just going, I mean, it's the worst thing I've ever seen, and so short. So short. You should be pleased.
Well, at least it was beautiful, unlike the points failure video, which you just imagine, I've just got home from my commute, flipping points failure again, it's taken me ages, stick the One Show on. There's a film about points
what
failure.
What was the film about points failure?
It was just demonstrating what points failure is, in case you needed to know. It had some close-ups of some points failing and moving from side to side. I I must say I didn't get to the end of that particular film. It was too much.
Was it your dullest segment of the week?
I think it may well have been, yeah.
There was a strong contender in Driving Lessons for the Over 50s.
Sorry, the Over 50s.
But it was weird because they had this lady who was an amputee and they kind of held back the information that she was an amputee as if it was some kind of dramatic plot twist. Which is, this is her life that we're just monopolising.
There were like three or four people, weren't they? One was in her 70s, yeah, just taking a driving test. Another one it was taking it in her 60s for this reason, 50s. So, and you're absolutely right. And this woman had spoken to camera three or four times in sort of medium close-up in front of the car, just chatting about how it, you know, freedom opens up the world, doesn't it, if you can drive and all this kind of stuff. And then it just cut to a static long shot of her standing there with one leg.
10 years ago, I got septicemia. To save my life, they had to amputate my leg. Unfortunately, when I came out of hospital, me and my partner split up, but I wouldn't let that hold me back. In fact, it pushed me a little bit harder. I don't need a leg.
That's sort of that's really underselling her story.
Exactly.
In a sort of way that is actually a bit wrong.
It was like they said, well, we've got no content in this. She's got one leg. Hold that bit back.
Yeah.
There was a lovely bit when they put a camera in the car. Obviously, the driving instructor goes, "Well, put your feet on the pedals." And I was like, ooh. And then she just went, "Foot."
Good. Good.
The controls are at your feet, you know.
Foot.
Yeah.
Get it right.
Good.
You can't treat disability as a reveal. What it's doing is sort of going, you didn't know, and now you're interested.
It made no difference. I wasn't any more interested than I was before. It's like, okay, fine, whatever.
You see, you're more right on than you think you are, and the one show is less right on than it believes it to be.
For sure. I really enjoyed the bit where Dara Breen, I thought was a brilliant guest actually this week. I enjoyed the bit where he called out Matt Baker for allowing a pregnant woman to have to run over to Radio 2.
Great.
And do the bit on the dance-a-thon. And he's like, oh, Matt, just making the pregnant woman do that, are we? And he was like, like, someone get rid of Dara now from my sight. I was like, yes, Dara, correct.
Yeah, good.
Dara was on to promote the reboot of Blockbusters. They showed a clip where Dara was saying how smart the kids were, and then they showed a clip illustrating the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
Where a child had said, it was what N, if you remember how Blockbusters worked, what N is a young potato? Again, the poshest two, you know, there was no diversity whatsoever on it. It was just two posh public school kids who just, and one of them went, young potato, nugget.
Right.
And he was berated by his mate because it's two versus one. It was the man versus horse of television. and Dara was saying, well, the thing is that I have to then, you know, because it's on Comedy Central, I have to make the jokes about it. So we had to, you know, this kid, and it's a new potato, nugget. And they were trying to explain how Dara makes jokes out of thick kids that Dara was then having to say were really smart kids. It was just kind of an odd piece to choose to illustrate.
Is a baby potato a new potato?
Yeah.
I don't think all brands of potato, like a Maris Piper, I'm not sure a small Maris Piper is necessarily a new potato.
I mean, with all respect to you, I don't think that's how the question was phrased. I think that the correct answer to the question given was new potato.
Right.
What was the question?
It was something along those lines.
What N is a new potato, wasn't it?
What N is a new potato?
No.
Some kind of avant-garde quiz. Okay, so question one. What N? Nope, the answer was Shostakovich. Just confused. I can see why it's on Comedy Central. Very strange.
What N are potatoes when they first come into season? Eddie.
I'm not entirely sure, but I'm going to go nugget.
Hi guys, Shangelos Epifemiou here, telling you to please listen to the Brian and Roger podcast. Now, I don't know who's written it, but whoever it is probably a genius. So I think you should give it a listen because it's such great stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Did you see Matt Baker explaining how to dance?
Yes.
How he was talking about how he dances.
Yes.
And what he does is he does sports. So he'll sort of go, you're skiing, you know, you're playing badminton. I mean, he's like fucking Partridge. It's like Partridge explaining how to use the, you know, toilet without touching anything with your hands. But I think it's amazing that even in like dancing, Matt can somehow make me bored by introducing sports. And I'm listing sports. Great. Just fucking listen to the music and enjoy yourself. One of the little music that I saw this week that I really thought was mental. Do you see Mary Berry drumming at Bestival?
Yes. With the help of Rick Astley, yeah. Yes.
I hope she took a pill after.
I wish she'd taken one before she came on this programme. She might have been interesting or engaging.
Chatty. Here, Mary, here's a wrap of MDMA. Perk yourself up, all right? We're not having a rerun of last week.
Put that in one of your cakes.
But she'd never heard of Rick Astley. And I just think, how have you not heard of Rick Astley? You must listen to Radio 2.
Yeah.
Like, what does Mary Berry listen to? She must have heard of Rick Astley.
She hadn't heard of anything or anyone. She
probably listens to the bell that she summons the staff with, counting down in her head to punish them if they're more than 15 seconds.
Quick servants, not quick cooking. That should have been the show. Yeah.
There was another film on Wednesday about Blackpool Football Club.
Imagine loving your football team so much that you couldn't bear to watch them play. That's what it's been like to support Blackpool for the past 4 years. But today...
As a non-football fan, I found it quite OTT, I have to say. It was, oh my goodness, we've had to boycott our club because this awful person has taken over it. And, you know, that's fair enough. Then go and do something else with your life. But they're sitting at home sobbing, wearing their orange scarves. Being like, this is
deliberately not going to watch. So what I understand, and again, I don't know anything about football. Mm. What I understand is Blackpool were having to play their home games in a stadium with nobody there.
Right.
Because they still have to play in whatever league, don't they, to progress or whatever.
So have they got... is it a new boss that the fans don't like?
It's exactly that. But they were celebrating because he'd finally gone. Because they cheerfully announced in the film of his convictions for rape and indecent assault.
Jesus
And he goes,
Christ.
It's the one show. You could have just said criminal... Whoa, yeah. Okay.
Larger than life former estate agent Owen Oyston bought Blackpool FC for just £1 in 1988. But in the years that followed, Owen Oyston was convicted of rape and indecent assault, something that today would bar him from owning a club.
And they were all celebrating that he'd gone and they could go back to their club and all the rest of it. But they kept showing footage of the terraces, and this shot would sweep across the terraces, and as a caption on the bottom to credit whoever footage it was, it said, Jane Atkinson, wildlife and birds, right? Over a shot of people standing on the terraces. And I'm going, they trailed with that. I thought, well, there'll be a story to that. Why is that? No, they showed another load of it later. Jane Atkinson, wildlife and birds. No, just some people on a terrace. What? Who's Jane Atkinson? And why is this to do with wildlife and birds? Later, they showed, because the stadium hadn't been cleaned or attended, there was seagull shit all over the seats.
Right.
And they cleaned it all up. And I'm wondering whether that was the mysterious wildlife and birds Jane Atkinson angle.
Maybe Jane Atkinson has been waiting for the day when the stadium was empty and all those people have gone and she can finally take a good picture of all that seagull shit. Because the ones she's taken that they showed, there were just people in the way. What a pain.
Also, what I learned is there's a reason that very few football clubs that I know of have that shade of orange as their strip. It was absolutely horrendous. And when you saw them en masse, in that small one-show studio. Oh, it was bad.
I had an audience question this week, actually, because we're used to an audience of people. We call them an audience, just some people standing around.
I've been dragged in, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But often it's people they involve in the show somehow. As indeed it was. There were some people, as you say, from the Blackpool Football Club. But this week, there were several moments where you saw the studio audience, but they weren't there for any reason.
No.
And it didn't really occur to me before that I assumed they were just to do with the programme.
Yeah.
Because they normally talk to them about something, or at least get them to demonstrate something. But this time, they weren't used at all. And I don't know. Can you get tickets to go to the one show?
I don't know.
Shall we?
The answer is yes. I mean, you're going to have to wear some kind of elaborate disguise.
You could record this in the queue. This would be so exciting. You have to do it.
Just do it as live.
Yeah, we have talked about going down to the petrol forecourt that they use outside the studio, where they often have the live music guests, and just to record at the Cafe Nero there, so we can keep an eye on what's going on. It would be good to just see it with your own eyes, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't it though?
And then we could, of course, make a list of the people who work there for the eventual trial that will come up. The collaborators.
Any other business? So the episode Dara was in, they did that thing of going, we've got a film, you'll like this film. They always tell them they'll like it whether they will or not. But it turned out Dara did, because he likes his science, doesn't he?
Yes.
So they went to the new Francis Crick Institute in London. It's near St Pancras Station.
Yeah.
Which is where the fruit flies turned up that we mentioned earlier.
Do you know why it's near St Pancras, by the way?
No.
It was done so that scientists from Europe could come over on the Eurostar and they'd pretty much step off the train and then they'd be at the Institute.
I didn't know that.
It is, yeah. So they built it, pretty much a year before Brexit. I think it opened around in the same month, but it's entirely redundant as to that now, because the scientists won't be coming over. There we are.
Right, good. Well, that's a cheery note.
Yeah.
Well, all that, 7 million or something, did it cost or something?
Something like that. Yeah, the realities of Brexit.
So the Francis Crick building, they do lots of these experiments in there, and it's home to nearly all science.
Mm.
And this man was having to very quickly go around each department. That was a one-show film, he's got to be quick. At one point, I've never heard a man try to sound enthused but come across in the exact opposite way as when he walked into a room full of dishwashers washing scientific instruments.
Just how much washing up are we talking about?
We do about 2,500 items a day, and it works out overall to be about 750,000 items a year.
Wow. And how important is this?
If there's any residue left on the glass, or if it's not sterile, it can just destroy an experiment.
So if the washing up down here stops, the science stops upstairs?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Teresa. I've got a dash.
And it's just racks and racks and racks of dishwashers, and they were pulling all this, glassware out, tubes and flasks and all the rest of it. And, he feigned interest in such a great... He looked at it and he just went, wow. But it was the flattest wow. He couldn't have sounded impressed.
A room full of dishwashers washing is just a room full of dishwashers.
It makes you go, why are you filming that?
Go next door, they're probably injecting a monkey with AIDS. Much more exciting.
This poor lab technician had to be like, yeah, cleanliness is important because of cross infection and stuff. I mean, what's she supposed to say?
Is this what you want? Is this what you want me to say? I don't know if it's okay, sure.
But in the very next bit, the next room he went into, having discussed the importance of the powerful dishwashers for cleanliness and cross contamination, a scientist is saying, well, this is where we take cells and float them on water under this electron microscope and have a look at them. And this is a diamond cutting knife, like a bacon slicer, but a sort of micro
level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they showed you this cutting bits of a cell off floating on the water. And then she said, to move them around, I take one of my own eyelashes, tape it to a cocktail stick, and push it around the water. You're going, what? That's contamination right there, isn't it?
We actually use something very cheap. This is one of my eyelashes stuck to a cocktail stick.
What? Your eyelash on the end of a cocktail stick? And what's that for?
So with that, once the very thin slices have come off and they're floating on water, then we can use the eyelash just to move them around.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I don't work here. I've been laid off from Eurostar.
I think she's been dared to say that. I think they've been like, the one show people won't notice. Yeah. You just say that. The editing is really lazy. Just say it and see where we go. And it's made it to the air.
It'll be a really nice thing. We had the woman explain that they've cracked a cure for cancer, but it's really difficult to get across in 10 seconds. So they're going to cut that bit. Do something about a cocktail stick. They'll like that bit. I did notice one of the things that, you know, I didn't see that video, but that actually sounds quite interesting. One of the things I did notice is they seem to have got rid of all of their celebrity video hosters. Apart from the Angelica Bell, which was a set visit, there's no Cary Grant, there's no Giles Brandreth. You don't get any of those people sort of just hosting anymore. If they do have someone who's known, there was a sitcom actress from Still Game, I think it
That's right, yes.
And she was talking about this sandwich carers, which are people who care for not just their own kids, but also their parents, so they're sandwiched between them. And they had her doing it because that's what she did. And I think they've made the decision to get rid of those sorts of hosts. So I have a feeling...
That's a budget.
We may be living in a non-Michael Douglas the hairdresser era. The only... I mean, that's the thing I'm looking forward to seeing over the next few weeks.
What is Brandreth going to do?
I know. He's going to have to put himself in one of his own This Is Your Heaven thing, because it's his one show career is dead.
Wow. He's going to have to do a lot of episodes of Just a Minute to make up for that.
It depends how many they've got. Maybe they've run out of the shelf, because, you know, they keep these films on the shelf. Maybe they've just got to the end of
maybe
the shelf.
Maybe they've reached that critical mass of going, we have 16,000 films we haven't shown yet.
Yeah.
So there is no point getting any more in.
There was quite an interesting film, and it was interesting, about Andrea Dunbar, you know, the playwright who died. And I didn't know this about, because I knew, you know, what she'd done and what she'd achieved. Incredible writer, you know, of that sort of work. Rita, Sue and Bob too, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I must admit, it's not familiar to me.
You're like Matt Baker then, because he just sort of said, so I've not seen it. Like, well, of course you haven't. You're Matt Baker. You haven't seen anything or read anything that your guests have come to talk about. Andrea Dunbar died at the age of 29, and I didn't know that.
Christ.
But she wrote her first play at the age of 18.
Andrea went to Buttershaw High School, where she first discovered her love for drama. Her teacher was Tony Priestley.
She got pregnant and she had to leave school and go to a mother and baby unit. Unfortunately, she lost the baby and she came back to Buttershaw. I suggested that because of the experience that she'd had, it might be a good idea to write about it. And I gave her some blank sheets of paper and she came up with some marvellous scenes about where she'd been in the mother and baby unit. And that became the first play, and it was called The Arbour.
It was an incredible film,
it was,
actually.
Really,
to be fair,
yeah, it was. To be fair to the one show, it was one of their good ones, wasn't it? Yeah, just talking about that life she had on that estate, because I didn't know her story at all. Because she had children, she got married really early.
She had a tough life, and she really wasn't tough. Celebrated as an author until way after she died, which is always really tragic and sad. But yeah, again, that was a relevant host. It was someone who had a connection. Was someone who lived in the same place or was related? I can't remember, but there was a proper connection.
Last week they did
rather than Andy Peters. Or whatever.
Last week they did one about Patricia Hayes, the actress, and that was done by her son. Those are the films that I really like, where I go, oh yeah, I sort of remember her, and then it's just someone going, and that was my mum, and this is what they were like, and here's a little potted bio of it. I could watch that all day long.
Yeah,
all day long.
Well, you can't, because we've stopped. Right, that's just about all the time we have, certainly. Thank you very much, Emma. Thank you very
thank
much
you.
Dude, you'll carry on watching it now, though, won't
of
you?
Of course, yeah. Well, Alex Jones has told me that Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart, she had to get that in, is on next week, so I'll be there.
That was how she did it.
Yeah.
Total Eclipse of the Heart, good. We haven't got Bonnie Tyler. Give Bonnie Tyler a ring, see if she'll do this.
Yeah, Alex also says the word music differently to everyone else.
Music.
Moosic.
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 So if you've a moment to review and comment, then please do. But whatever you do, remember this and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at the one show, the one show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends, or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter @FriendsWF.